probably the most well-known, most often quoted, most famous section of the Genjo Koan, one that you've heard many times, is the fourth section. To study the way of enlightenment is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by the myriad things. When actualized by the myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away. No trace of enlightenment remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. When you first seek the Dharma, you imagine you are far away from its environs. At the moment when Dharma is authentically transmitted, you are immediately your original self. It's brilliant because it's so simple. And it is a very clear instruction of how to practice Zen. The parallel structure really helps us. The lines are so balanced. Each one builds on the previous one, and yet they kind of morph, and he stretches and changes the meaning as it moves through. And you, well, wait, study? Well, forget? What does he mean? To study the way is to study the self. This the way sometimes is translated as the Buddha way, or the way of enlightenment is the way Kaz-sensei translates it here. To study it is to study the self. And that's just obvious, to be intimate with yourself, to know yourself. I mean, we know that from the Western philosophy. To know yourself is the way to study. But it's not so easy to do, you know. And the word study, you know, even in the West, is a discipline. It requires attention and focus, practice, zazen. You know, we're a community here, and one of the reasons we're a community is we gather together to reinforce and help one another practice. Because it's really hard to do on your own. And so we make a group, a sangha, and we say, okay, I'm going to practice, you're going to practice. And that's the way we help ourselves to do this serious sitting zen, zazen. It is crucially important to studying the self. Also, other kinds of study. Being aware of how we are with others, our interactions with others. Being aware, just like we just did in that continuum of awareness exercise. Being aware of our life as it is arising. This is to study the self. It is to, as it said in just the previous section, fully engage your body and mind. Fully engage it. That is to study the self. So we got that. We said, okay, got it. Study the ways to study the self. And then the very next line, he says, to study the self is to forget the self. So now he's turned it all around again. We thought we've just had this great self that we began to build, this marvelous monument to ourselves. But if you really think about what it is to study the self, is to let all the extra stuff fall away. All the extra thoughts and ideas, let them shift away. The received information you have about yourself from your parents and from your colleagues and from your partners, let that drop away. What does it feel like to be the self? What is that? When we let that all drop, we have our breath. We have this moment. Our temperature rising. Our temperature falling. So this forgetting of the self builds on the awareness of what the self is in the first place. It isn't forgetting our present now being. That isn't what Dogen's asking us to forget. It's to forget our limitations, to forget our constraints, our ideas about ourselves. To forget our small self, if you will. There's a curious poem I ran across yesterday. It's always funny, isn't it? I mean, the synchronicity of things. But this is a poem by a well-known noble person who lived at the time of Dogen, was not a Zen person at all. He was involved in the politics of the time. But he wrote this poem, and it's very curious. It reminds me so much of how we hold on to that which we should forget. And here's this poem. The withered willow standing alongside the road, when spring at last comes, surely must think with longing, ah, how I long for the past. So the withered willow, now this is perfect for this time of year, standing alongside the road, when spring at last comes, surely must think with longing, ah, how I long for the past. He's longing, the willow is longing for the cold winter. Not able to be spring. Think how often we do that. Not able to be now. Because we're longing for that cold, bare winter. To let go of those limited notions of ourself. To let go of thinking of ourself as just this. When we truly study the self, we can forget the self. And then we're just suddenly amazed by the brilliance of spring. The brilliance of everything. We become connected to the whole world. More than connected, we become the whole world. And Dogen says it this way. To forget the self is to be actualized by myriad things. So, to forget the self is not a loss. To forget the self is the great gain. What happens when you get out of the way? The whole world pours in. The whole world pours in. And we become who we are. The buzzing universe of who we are. Not some plastic bag of guts and ideas. But everything. Not just everything right now, but we become everything always. Before, now, and after now. All of time flows into us, past time and future time. And what does it feel like? It's that intimacy of riding the subway, riding a bicycle, driving a car, connecting to others, caring for others, just doing it, just living your life fully. Having studied the self and forgotten the self, then you allow each thing to actualize you. You recognize that anything that is happening to you is your life. It's not, oh, this is not my life. No, anything is your life. And to meet it like that, to meet it, it's amazing. Dogen wrote a poem much later than this. There's a whole collection of his poems from Eheji, where the monastery he went to much after he wrote this Genjo Koan. And this is one of the short poems he wrote. If you ask, what is Buddha? An icicle hanging from a mosquito net. It must have been cold in his room, where in the summer he needed a mosquito net, right? What is Buddha? An icicle hanging from a mosquito net. To forget the self is to be actualized by the myriad things, by everything. And just the joy of that. The joy of it. Our lives are really very short. And to miss that is really a tragedy. Because otherwise you're living in a fantasy of yourself. It's not really your life. You're missing your life. Then Dogen says, when actualized by the myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the body and minds of others, drop away. It's kind of strange, isn't it? This dropping away. We studied that a lot last spring, if you recall, and there are some talks on the web that deal with the kind of Shinjin Datsuraku, the famous dropping away body and mind of Dogen's. But one Japanese philosopher talked about this dropping away, this term Datsuraku. He says it's the way leaves fall, or a kimono drops away. I like that. It's very poetic. It captures this sense. Body and mind drops away like leaves drop from a tree, or like when you come home and you drop your jacket and just let it drop. To be able to let all those ideas of who I am just drop away. And then what's left? In that continuum of awareness exercise, when we just for a moment let the sensor drop away, the sense of what's right or wrong drop away, and just for a moment, perhaps, experience what we were experiencing. Just for a moment. That's what Dogen's talking about here, dropping away body and mind, dropping away all the constraints, all the habits, to release our grasp. If there's no sense of this is my body and this is my mind, then what's left? Just this. The soft whooshing of sensation. The sound of fabric brushing against someone's sleeve. That's what's left. The presencing of this moment, of this now, of this life that you're living. Maizumi Roshi liked the translation, to be enlightened by the 10,000 dharmas is to free one's body and mind and that of others. To free it. And isn't that what our practice is about? Simply to be free. And what happens when we're free is we just spontaneously, generously help others, serve others. Not because we're thinking we ought to, but because when we realize that we are not separate, then that's what you do. It's just natural. So what does he say? No trace of enlightenment remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. Nothing's left over. Doesn't smell. No, yesterday I had this experience in meditation. Now I'm different. Ikkyu, that great revolutionary poet, said, I don't remember making a mistake called enlightenment. To talk about it and ruminate about it is to fall back into delusion. It's the small self grasping for attention. It's like the withered willow remembering the winter, not awake to the spring of this moment, leaving no trace is like to hike gently in the mountains. Pick up a pop bottle in the park. No trace. Modesty, simplicity, core Zen values. And then he summarizes the whole section. When you first seek the Dharma, you imagine you are far away from its environs. At the moment when Dharma is authentically transmitted, you are immediately your original self. So we think we have to study everything, but we think we're separate from the Dharma. But to study ourself is to study the Dharma. And using the tools of meditation, communication, awareness, mindfulness, our delusions begin to drop away. The leaves fall away. And the tree itself is revealed. We are the Dharma. It's not out there. And yet Dogen continually tells us that in order to realize this, we must practice. That practice itself is enlightenment. We are the Dharma, and yet, in order to realize we are the Dharma, we must continue to go through this path that he's laid out for us. Study the self and to forget the self over and over and over again. So what I'd like us to do now is to do one more exercise. It won't be a long exercise, it'll be shorter. And those people at home, I recommend that you do this too. If you don't have someone to work with, I would recommend that you write out this exercise. So what we're going to do is, again, in twos, but don't work with the same person, work with somebody different. And for 5 minutes, I'd like you to, the first person will say, tell me a way that you don't forget the self. And then you'll tell them a way that you don't forget the self. And the person will say, thank you. Tell me a way you don't forget the self. Thank you. What stops us from that crucial point of forgetting the self? How do we stop ourselves? Tell me a way I don't forget the self. Getting up and grabbing a coffee. Tell me a way I don't forget the self. Oh, I think I'll text someone. Every time we have an opportunity to forget the self and to be completely present, most of us run as fast as we can away from that. We run into our own minds, into our own narratives, to our own stories. We run to stuff something in our mouth. We run to say something to somebody. We run away from ourselves. We're not able to forget the self and allow ourselves to be enlightened by the 10,000 things. So that's why I want us to do this exercise now. Okay? Thanks. So turn to someone